Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something everyone experiences, conflict. And to help us navigate this tricky area, we're turning to the teachings of Jesus. We've got a really fascinating collection of scriptures here, all about how he taught his followers to handle disagreements and, get this, even strengthen relationships through them. It's not about just avoiding conflict, which, let's be real, can be pretty impossible, but how to approach it from a whole new perspective.
Right. And it's interesting, when you really get into the scriptures, you see Jesus wasn't just some passive preacher, just saying nice things. He challenged people, called out hypocrisy. He got into some pretty intense debates, but he always did it with this incredible balance of strength and compassion.
Now, he definitely wasn't afraid of a good debate, was he? I'm always struck by how, even though he talked about things like love and peace a lot, he also wasn't afraid to kind of shake things up when he needed to.
Exactly. And that's so important for us even today. It's not about keeping quiet when things are wrong or acting like everything's fine when it's not. It's about learning to, engage with conflict in a constructive way, speak truthfully with love and courage, and try to find a resolution without having to compromise our values.
Okay, so with that in mind, let's dive into some specific teachings. One passage that always gets me is Matthew 5.23-24. It talks about how important reconciliation is, and it's pretty powerful. It basically says, if you're about to make an offering to God and remember that someone has something against you, stop right there. Leave your offering, go work things out with that person, and then come back and finish.
It's such a vivid picture, isn't it? It really shows just how important healthy relationships are, even more so than religious rituals. Imagine prioritizing making amends over something as significant as a spiritual offering. It speaks volumes about where our priorities should really be.
It's like saying, hold up, God can wait. Your relationships with people, way more important. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement. And it really makes you realize that all those broken relationships, those lingering resentments, can really get in the way of our spiritual lives. Trying to build a house on a foundation of sand, it's just not going to be stable.
That's a great analogy. We often try to compartmentalize things. We think we can have a healthy spiritual life even while we're holding on to like anger or bitterness towards others. But this passage shows us that that's just not how it works. Our relationships with others are so connected to our relationship with God. We can't have one without the other.
So fixing those broken relationships, seeking that reconciliation, it's not just about being a good person. It's actually vital for our own spiritual well-being.
Precisely. It's like clearing the air so that we can connect with God and with others from a place of, wholeness and genuineness. And this whole idea of prioritizing reconciliation fits in really well with another one of Jesus's teachings, turning the other cheek. We see this in Matthew 5.38-42.
Okay, so this one, I'll be honest, has always been a head scratcher for me. Turn the other cheek. Sounds good in theory, but how do you actually do that, especially when someone is truly awful?
It is. It is a radical idea, isn't it? And you're right. It's often misunderstood as just being passive or letting people walk all over you. But if we think about it through the lens of prioritizing reconciliation, it takes on a whole new meaning. It's not about being a doormat. It's about breaking that cycle of retaliation. It's about choosing a different way to respond, one that kind of disarms the situation and opens the door for conversation.
So it's less about literally offering your other cheek to be slapped and more about responding to aggression with something unexpected, something that disarms them. It's about like meeting anger with compassion or understanding, even when it's really, really hard.
Exactly. It's about saying, you know what? I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to fight fire with fire. Instead, I'm going to choose a different path, one that might actually lead to healing and reconciliation.
Which, when you think about it, is incredibly difficult to do when you're in the heat of the moment. It takes like tremendous restraint and self-control.
It does. And that's where another of Jesus's teachings comes in. The importance of self-reflection. We find this in Matthew 7.1-5.
Yes, the whole log in your own eye passage. This one always makes me laugh because it's so true. It's so easy to see the flaws in other people while being totally blind to our own.
It's so easy to judge, isn't it? But Jesus reminds us that before we even start to try and address the like speck in someone else's eye, we need to deal with the log in our own.
It's like trying to point out a tiny little stain on someone's shirt when you've got a huge coffee stain on your own.
Exactly. It's about cultivating self-awareness, humility, and a willingness to own our own stuff before we go around pointing fingers at everyone else.
So before we even get into actually addressing a conflict with someone, we need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and ask, okay, what's my part in all this? Am I truly blameless here? or do I have some work to do on myself first?
Precisely. And that is such a crucial step because it really lays the foundation for a more productive and compassionate conversation.
Okay, so we've talked about prioritizing, making things right, turning the other cheek, and how important self-reflection is. All really important stuff, but what's next? What happens when those initial attempts at reconciliation, you know, don't work out so well?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Jesus actually gives us a surprisingly practical roadmap for navigating those more difficult conversations. We find it in Matthew 18.15-17.
Let's dive into that.
This passage, it's like a step-by-step guide for dealing with conflict, and it starts by really emphasizing, like, direct and private communication. Jesus says, you know, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you.
Yeah.
So step one is having that one-on-one conversation, you know, in a spirit of love and humility with the goal of just understanding and resolution.
So that means no airing your grievances online, no gossiping with friends, just a direct heart-to-heart conversation. Makes sense.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that the goal here isn't like to win an argument or prove the other person wrong. It's to really try to see their perspective and find a way to reconcile. But of course, you know, sometimes those first conversations don't lead to a resolution.
Right, because let's face it, sometimes people can be really stubborn. So what then? Does Jesus suggest we just give up and walk away?
Not at all. He gives us a framework for like taking the conversation to the next level in a way that's still focused on reconciliation. He says, if they won't listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses.
So it's about bringing in some like neutral parties, not to gang up on the person, but to help the conversation move forward and hopefully reach a resolution.
Precisely. It's about getting outside support, you know, some wisdom from others, while still maintaining that same spirit of love and respect for everyone involved. And bringing in other people, this isn't about gossiping or slandering anyone. It's about accountability, having witnesses who can help clarify what's going on and encourage both sides to really listen to each other.
It's like having mediators helping to kind of bridge the gap and find common ground.
Exactly. But even with the best intentions, even with really skilled mediators, conflict can be so messy and complicated. And sometimes it might feel like you're just hitting a brick wall.
Oh, I've been there. It can be so frustrating when you've tried talking directly, you've brought in other people, and the other person is still not budging. What happens then?
Well, Jesus gives us one final step, and it's a big one. He says, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
Wow. Okay, things just got real. Tell it to the church. That sounds pretty intense.
It is serious, and it's important to consider, you know, the historical context. In Jesus's time, the church wasn't just a building. It was the whole community of believers. So this step, it's really a last resort when nothing else has worked.
So it's not about publicly shaming someone, but bringing the issue to the whole community, hoping that, you know, their combined wisdom and guidance might help the person to see things differently.
Exactly. And that phrase, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector, that's often misunderstood as permission to, like, cut someone off or condemn them. But when we look at how Jesus interacted with those groups, it paints a different picture. He reached out to them. He talked with them. He showed them compassion and love, even though they were often rejected by society.
So it's not about punishment. It's about setting boundaries, but still holding out hope for reconciliation. It's like saying, look, I can't make you change, and I'm not going to be part of something that's hurtful or disrespectful, but I still care about you, and I'm still here if you're ready to make things right.
That's a really good way to put it. And it highlights the heart of what Jesus teaches about conflict. It always comes back to love, even when we need to set boundaries, even when making up seems impossible. We're called to love others the same way Christ loved us. And this leads us to another essential teaching that's found throughout the scriptures.
Forgiveness. We can't talk about conflict without talking about forgiveness, can we? It feels like such a vital part of this whole process.
Absolutely. Forgiveness is at the very heart of reconciliation. And Jesus makes it very clear how important it is. Remember the story where Peter asks, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.
Wow. 77 times. So basically, there's no limit to forgiveness, right?
Exactly. Forgiveness isn't just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing practice, a choice we make again and again, especially in those tough relationships.
And it's not about saying what happened doesn't matter, or that bad behavior is okay. It's about choosing to let go of the anger and resentment so we can actually move forward.
It's about understanding that holding on to anger and bitterness only hurts us. It's like, as they say, drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Forgiveness is about setting ourselves free from that poison, choosing freedom instead of resentment.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about taking back your own power, your own peace of mind. But honestly, even though I get that, putting it into practice is a whole other thing. Forgiveness is tough, especially when someone's really hurt you.
You're right, it's hard. It's a journey, not a finish line. And sometimes it means digging deep down inside ourselves to find that place of compassion and grace. But the rewards, they're huge. It frees us from that resentment, opens the door to healing and reconciliation, and lets us really live in the present moment.
So forgiveness isn't really about the other person. It's about our own inner state, our own journey to becoming whole. It's about choosing to let go of the pain so that we can experience the peace and freedom that Jesus promised.
Beautifully put. And that commitment to forgiveness, to choosing love over resentment, it's so important as we try to handle conflict in a way that honors both our relationships and our faith.
Okay, we've covered so much. Making things right, turning the other cheek, looking inward, a process for addressing conflict, and how crucial forgiveness is.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But I feel like all these teachings point to something bigger, something even deeper.
You're absolutely right. All of these teachings, they all come down to love. They're all different sides of what it means to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves.
And that love isn't just a feeling. It's an action. It's a choice, a way of moving through the world that affects every part of our lives, especially our relationships.
Exactly. And that's what makes these teachings so challenging, but also so incredibly life-changing. Because when we start looking at conflict through the lens of love, everything changes.
It's like that verse, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it keeps no record of wrongs. It seems like that's the kind of love that's like at the heart of all these teachings.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not always easy to actually live out that kind of love, you know, especially when you're in the middle of a conflict. But even when we fall short, even when we mess up, we're still called to love. It's a journey, you know, a lifelong thing of learning and growing and offering grace to ourselves and to others.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive on Jesus' teachings on conflict, what's like one practical thing our listeners can take away from all this? It's easy to talk about the ideas, but how do we actually live them out, you know, in our everyday lives?
That's a great question. And I think it's important to remember that we're not expected to be perfect at this. We don't have to become like conflict resolution experts overnight. Even baby steps, you know, moving towards love and forgiveness, those can make a huge difference.
Okay, so like what might those small steps look like?
Well, it could be something as simple as choosing to respond to someone difficult with a little more patience than you normally would. Or taking the time to really hear someone else's point of view, even if you don't agree with it. Or maybe it's offering a genuine apology when you've messed up, even if it's hard to swallow your pride.
Those are all really good examples. And I think one thing we often forget is that prayer can be such a powerful tool when we're dealing with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Before we like launch into a difficult conversation or hit send on that really heated email, just taking a moment to pray for wisdom, guidance, compassion for both ourselves and the other person, I think that can make a world of difference.
Absolutely. Prayer can really help soften our hearts, help us see things from God's point of view, and remind us that we're not in this alone. We can always turn to God for help, for guidance, no matter what we're going through.
This has been, wow, such an insightful deep dive. I feel like I've gotten a whole new perspective on conflict and how to approach it in a way that's both, you know, constructive and reflects Christ's teachings.
Me too. And I hope our listeners feel the same. Remember, conflict is just a normal part of life, but it doesn't have to tear us apart. When we take what we've learned from Jesus, when we choose love, forgiveness, reconciliation, we can turn those tough moments into chances for growth, for healing, for deeper connection.
That's a powerful thought to end on. Now, here's something for you to think about this week. Think of a conflict you're dealing with right now, big or small. What's one small step you can take this week, inspired by what we've talked about, to maybe take a step toward making things right or to show love to the other person? It might not be easy, but it could be the start of something really amazing. Until next time, keep diving deep.